This podcast is brought to you by our Father's Day special. Get Dad something he'll love. Get him a Buy American, Support America t-shirt. If you buy today, you get one of Howie's awesome books for free. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click the banner.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
They never thought I was going to win, and then I won. And then they tried to get me out. That was the insurance policy. And now I beat them on the insurance policy. And now they're being exposed. And you know what? Other things are going to come out, too. And a lot of other things are going to come out. But what am I doing? I'm fighting the deep state. I'm fighting the swamp. If it keeps going the way it's going, I have a chance to break the deep state.
I must break you.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
What do you think is Joe Biden's strongest feature as a competitor in politics?
Well, I would have said experience, but he doesn't really have experience because I don't think he remembers what he did yesterday.
He was harsh, but not untruthful.
He was never known as a smart person.
Pick one good thing.
I can't tell you. I mean, I'm really serious.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
My advice to everybody over the weekend is respect the virus. This is not about vanity, folks. There's a lot at stake here.
The answer is no. I did not host a gathering at my home. My brother has two children graduating. He invited some family to get together.
Well, it wasn't a party so much as a gathering of people with food and music and the band.
Unchained and unstoppable.
I did stop by to say hello.
We can start talking about a gradual, careful, data-driven, phased reopening. Don't let a few nice days step on that.
I would just say that this is going to happen when people want to get together and as the weather improves.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. If you'd like to join us, the toll-free number from anywhere is 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. I hope you had a safe Memorial Day weekend, whether you were in free America, where I'm broadcasting from right now, or whether you're behind the Iron Curtain of the blue state repressive regimes in the Northeast and the Midwest. Where I come from, which is New England, and hopefully the blue states will begin loosening their iron grip on their populations. This is going to be really nasty if they don't, because things are normal in much of America, if not most of America, and even people like Cuomo are starting to loosen up a little bit, as well they should, given their disastrous stewardship of their states over the past few months. Anyway, Grace is with me here to give you Grace's news.
Actually, Howie, it's funny you should bring up New York, because I listened to this podcast. It's two girls. They both live in New York City, and they made a really good point. They said people who live in New York City, it's always been a pretty terrible place to live as far as apartments and rent and taxes. But the only thing that keeps people in NYC is the liveliness of it, the nightlife, the restaurants, the proximity to things, the people.
If you could make it here, you could make it anywhere.
Yeah, it really is that allure, that panache. And I am going to be so curious. I think people are going to be leaving. They already have, but I think permanently people are going to be leaving in droves. Because
I think the same thing applies for all of these states.
Because you're looking at people in other places and you're just thinking to yourself, why do I live here? Why do I pay so much to live in this concrete jungle where things aren't made of?
Again, the governor of Illinois' wife, she got out. She's in Wellington, or she was in Wellington, Florida. Do you think people are going to stick around New Jersey? You know, you had the top taxpayer in New Jersey fled to Miami Beach a few years ago. I think his name is Tepper. He cost him $50 million in taxes. One guy, $50 million. The population of millionaires in Manhattan is down by one third. Who's sticking around Massachusetts? You know, all these states.
I know. It's so crazy. But everyone, welcome to the Grace's News Party. You are all invited to this segment, no matter where you are. If you're at a lake house, if you're in Florida, no matter where you are welcome here. Howie, I want to start off with a little bit of news that connects to something I talked about yesterday. Representative Ilhan Omar is changing her take on Joe Biden. So yesterday I reported that she had been interviewed by the Sunday Times of London and said she believed Tara Reid. And she said justice can be delayed, but should never be denied.
Yes.
And this was kind of when you really stack it up with the other news stories, this has kind of gone under the radar with Joe Biden because of the "you ain't black" comments. But it's a pretty big story when a member of the squad says she believes someone who's accusing him of rape. Now she's saying that even though she believes Tara Reid, she's still backing Joe Biden. So just an update for everyone.
Vote for the rapist. It's really important. That, you know, that's what they used to say in Louisiana when Edwin Edwards was running for governor. Vote for the crook. It's really important.
Well, remember when Trump was running and he said, oh, I could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and people would still vote for me?
And that was a joke. He was just saying he was popular.
But everyone made such a big deal out of it. Everyone was like, that is terrible. At least Trump didn't actually do that and people still voted for him. These people are saying, oh, no, we fully believe Tara Reid, but we're still going to vote for Joe Biden anyway. And there's crickets from the mainstream media.
Joe Biden is making a live appearance from the basement today on another network in less than an hour from now. We will be rolling on it.
Howie, so I really liked your column, and that's posted on our website for anyone who can't get through the Boston Herald paywall. I loved your column about Joe Biden being Punxsutawney Phil emerging from his basement. And I have to say, those pictures, if you are curious why President Trump does not want to be photographed in a mask, that is why.
Right.
And he didn't even have, he should have had a Boomer Naturals mask, because at least they're light and they look comfortable. The mask he had on was very Darth Vader.
Yeah, you know, Jack Kennedy was told at an early age as a politician, long before he became president, don't be photographed in a hat.
Yeah.
You know, a hat. You know, it doesn't matter if it's the coolest hat in the world. You know, they can take a picture of you and make you look stupid in a hat. And there are other things you don't do that the Kennedys learned. You don't wear a button-down collar, you know, because that makes you look like a professor or some kind of waspy inherited money guy. You wear a collar like I've got on right now, you know. I mean, there are just certain things you don't do, Joe Biden, he was shuffling his feet too a little bit, wasn't he, yesterday?
Ooh, doing the shuffle.
That's not a good look.
Well,
when you're when you have a problem, you know, forgetting what your name is and who you're running against and what the office you're running for, when you shuffle too, it's another bad sign. I'm not going to say what of. You could figure it out for yourself.
I actually have no idea, so I'm going to have to ask Taylor during the break. But Howie, The thing I noticed about the mask pictures were the damn aviators. He's obsessed with those Ray-Bans, and he's got them attached to the thing. They must be getting fogged up, because when you breathe into your mask, then the glasses get fogged up. He's got to get rid of those. If you're already covering your entire face, take the glasses off. I'm not even convinced it was him.
He hasn't been in direct sunlight for more than 2 months. It's got to be pretty hard when you're that age. Any age when you've been, he's been in the hole, basically.
I think he thinks those aviators are going to win him the election. He thinks they're his key to being hip with the cool kids.
I said it in my column today. You know who else was wearing the aviators over the weekend?
Who?
Ralph Northam, the governor of Virginia.
Oh, yeah. He's more used to wearing
the Klan hood. So I don't know why he didn't wear the mask. If it's going to be mandatory for everybody else in Virginia, why wasn't it mandatory for him?
We're getting a lot of texts and calls, by the way, Howie, from people who have children who graduated who are very upset that they did not host parties this weekend now that they know the new rules. One of which is my mother, Jean Curley. She is not thrilled about this.
In case you didn't hear the first hour, Karen Polito, the lieutenant governor of Massachusetts, we call her pay to play. She is in charge of enforcing the draconian rules in what used to be known as the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, now called the Fourth Reich. And it turns out that she went to a big party. Big party. She says it's not her party. It's her brother's party. They have this big compound on an island in Lake Quinsigamond in the middle of Massachusetts. Yeah. And it's okay because her nephew and her niece were graduating. And again, Grace, did your sister, your younger sister, Alex, did she have a party?
No, she did not. She was following all the rules.
Well, rules are for the little people.
Yes, Grace. For the unwashed boat people like
and the
me.
Cars.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, Howie, can I give a quick shout out, by the way? One of my favorite listeners, Mark, and actually two of them, Mark and Carol McRae, they sent me a beautiful birthday card, and they're just the nicest people, and I wanted to give them a shout out because they listen to us every day and they always have the kindest things to say. So thank you, Mark and Carol. You guys totally made my day.
We were planning to have a big party for Grace on her birthday, which is the same birthday as my late mother.
Howie,
so I never forget it.
Howie, but can you take me to a lake house so I can have a party, please?
Do you want to go to the Polito compound?
I want to have a pinata and a cake.
It's okay, but the problem is, Grace, your last name is not Polito. You're not one of the beautiful people, so you can't have a party.
I'm one of the plebes.
You can't have a party.
Indeed.
Parties are only allowed for the ruling class.
Howie, if anyone is feeling down that they didn't get to have a party, I have something that will cheer them up. Father's Day is around the corner. Make sure you get your Father's Day special. It's a Buy American, Support America t-shirt and a book from Howie Carr. The book is free. This deal is up at HowieCarrShow.com. Click on the banner to get your Father's Day deal. When we get back, Howie, I have an update on someone we haven't talked about in a long time, Jeffrey Epstein. This is a very interesting update.
I know what it's about. And if you can't go to a party, just get the party delivered to you, that t-shirt and the book. It's like having your own Karen Polito.
This is party. The Polito special.
The Polito special. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Don't touch that dial. Howie Carr will be back after this.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Boomer Naturals Face Coverings. Charlie Parker, that's the governor of Massachusetts, has spoken, and now you need a face covering. So get a comfortable one at HowieCarrShow.com. When you click on the Boomer Naturals banner, you can save 20% with code word HowieCarr20. HowieCarr20. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will the presidential debates be virtual or in person?
I think they're going to be in person, much as Joe Biden is going to try to prevent it from happening. Do you think, Taylor, do you think Joe Biden will be wearing those Ray-Bans during the debate?
He'll try to look cool and come out to this entrance and he'll trip and fall like Gerald Ford or something.
That shuffling is really going to look bad when he comes out onto the debate stage. I think he's going to make sure that they just begin the debate with both candidates at the podium. And by the way, they're going to have to be seated too, because there's no way he can stand up for an hour and a half or 2 hours.
I Googled it, Howie. Now I understand what that means.
Shuffling?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So 76% say there'll be in-person debates.
All right, Howie. So let me give you the rundown on the new Jeffrey Epstein documentary that is hitting Netflix. In it, an IT man claims he saw the former President Bill Clinton relaxing at the Lolita Island.
Yes. No, they go down on the Lolita Express. That's his private jet.
Darn
I don't
it.
Know what
I
you
almost ca- had it. The island, I think they call the island like Creep Island or something like that. But
they could call it Pedo Island, too.
Yes. And then I thought you'd enjoy this part of the New York Post article. It says...
Go ahead and tell people. I read it already, Grace, but it's pretty funny.
There is no suggestion Clinton engaged in inappropriate behavior. So he flew down on Lolita Express to Pedo Island, but there's no suggestion that while he was hanging out in a villa with Jeffrey Epstein, that there was any sort of illicit behavior.
I thought you were going to tell me about the part of the story where they say that hundreds of people now are claiming to be Jeffrey Epstein's illicit love child so that they can get part of his $600 million plus estate that he left behind.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I'm going to watch that documentary and I will report back to Howie Carnation what I watch. Governor Ron DeSantis says Florida would love to host Republican National Convention.
Good. That's
so
great.
Howie, there's been a lot of talk about it moving out of Charlotte, North Carolina, because the state is delaying part of its reopening. And
Governor Cooper is a Democrat, i.e., he's dragging his feet reopening the great Tar Heel state.
So this is what DeSantis said. Florida would love to have the RNC. Heck, I'm a Republican. It would be good for us to have the RNC in terms of the economic impact when you talk about major events like that. So my posture on all of this is we should try to get it done as best we can in accordance with whatever safety requirements. Spoken like a rational human being who wants something good for his state.
We had the Super Bowl.
Why not
the Republican National Convention?
You had the Super Bowl in Miami.
That's right.
Indeedy. Howie, I wanted to play a sound cut here because we all know that Trump made a lot of promises when he ran for president. But one that you might be forgetting is that he promised, according to Joy Reid, he promised white voters that he would get rid of brown immigrants. I bet you don't remember this. This is cut.
This is where I like the citation, like when Joe Biden said that he told everybody that they should inject Clorox into their bloodstream. You know, I can't recall that audio or video. And I'm gonna call out Joy Reid too.
Howie, they're not as big of fans of transcribing words as you are. There's not as much transcription going on with the Democrats. Let's play cut 26.
Black voters vote for Democrats in overwhelming numbers, and then the Democratic Party and the Democratic candidates, they take for granted, they build it into their number plan that they're already going to get those votes. And so there isn't necessarily an urgency to offer something. That's why I opened my questioning with Corrine the way I did, is that, you know, overwhelmingly white voters vote for Republicans, but they still make them an offer. They're like, well, this is what I'm going to do. I mean, this is what Donald Trump was very clear. This is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to get rid of these brown immigrants. And so there's a disconnect between the two parties.
Is that a direct quote, Joy? Would you like if we quoted you on some of the things from your old blog?
About gay people?
Right. She said a lot more things that are quotable than President Trump has about brown immigrants. I don't think I've ever heard those two words together come out of his mouth. Once again, hypocrisy. And Howie, I'm sure you heard this, but I didn't talk about it at all yesterday. Hertz has filed for bankruptcy, and I guess they handed out $16 million in retention bonuses after filing.
This is Hertz, the magazine and newspaper and radio TV station owners. Hertz, the rental car, the largest rental car.
It's sad. They're both hurting.
Is that what? Is that the company O.J. Simpson worked for?
Oh, I don't know. Did he? He is a Renaissance man, multi-talented.
Thank you, Grace.
Thanks, Howie.
We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And give us a call. We're going to take some calls. We're going to have a guest, though, first before we take the calls. And his name is Dave Seminara. And you may have read his stuff in the Wall Street Journal. He's a former diplomat, and he's got written some good columns lately about tourists and the latest one. Nobody likes tourists until they stay away, and boy, is that ever true right now, especially in all the resort areas of the United States, which are just being clubbed and crippled, especially if they're in states with Democrat governors, where they're trying to keep everybody at bay. And talking about, like in Maine, these 14-day quarantines, it's going to kill the tourism industry. Dave Seminara, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
It's an honor to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
And the title of your book is Bed, Breakfast, and Drunken Threats, Dispatches from the Margins of Europe. And I want to talk about tourism and these shutdowns and these quarantines and sort of the double standards of the Democrat governors. They want to welcome in the huddled masses carrying infectious diseases, but suddenly now American citizens are verboten from coming into their areas. But Grace was telling me that you as a former diplomat have been taking hydroxychloroquine for a number of years. I just wanted to get your report on what that drug is like.
It's a beautiful drug, I think, as the president might say. I'd say it's a beautiful drug. It's a talented drug. I love hydroxychloroquine. I've been taking it for more than 2 years for an autoimmune disorder that I have, a skin disease. And so I've been watching all of this with a sort of just growing disgust, the way the media has been, first of all, not only rooting against this drug, but second of all, implying that it's incredibly dangerous. I mean, the way the media has covered it, you'd think that, you know, the president had suggested people shoot up with heroin or take some incredibly dangerous drug. I mean, look, I was prescribed this drug by doctors from very reputable medical institutions, and they tell me that the drug is very safe, and I've experienced nothing, no side effects whatsoever, and it's been great for me.
Yeah, I mean, when I read that it's been around since 1955, I can do the math. That's 65 years. This drug is ready to start collecting Social Security. And I never heard anything about it. It's not like it's thalidomide or one of these drugs where, you know, you see these ambulance-chasing lawyers come on the cable news channel and tell you if you ever took this drug, call 1-800-AMBULANCE-CHASER. We'll get you some money. I mean, there's never been a hint of a problem with this, has it? Has there?
No. You know when it became a dangerous drug, Howie? When the president started recommending it. You've even got people like Neil Cavuto on Fox News, of all places, who said, and I was watching, he said, this drug will kill people. That was his exact quote. And I'm sitting there thinking, I just took two of these things a few minutes ago, Neil. Where's my body bag? I think I'm doing all right. I've been taking it for 2 years longer than the president has, and I'm doing very well with it.
Yeah. The easiest way to make it safe for everybody would be for the president to denounce it today. He's doing a press conference and just say, you know, this hydroxychloroquine, it's really bad. You shouldn't take it anymore. And then they'd be promoting it around the clock, 24/7, on all the left wing cable shows, the left wing newspapers, et cetera, et cetera. You're absolutely right. Well, listen, I like the fact that, you're talking about nobody likes tourists until they stay away. And particularly, let me just read something from your most recent Wall Street Journal column. There's a particular irony that liberals who seem to believe that everyone from around the globe has a constitutional right to move here now effectively want to build walls around their communities to keep their fellow citizens out. If you're from Lagos, welcome. But if you're from Long Island, buzz off, right? That is so true. That's a very, very... good observation, Dave Seminara.
Thanks, Howie. You know, I just moved to Florida from Bend, Oregon last year. And in Bend, Oregon is a beautiful tourist town in the middle of the center of Oregon. It's in a Deschutes County, which has about 200,000 people. And in Bend, Oregon, so far, they have zero COVID deaths so far. Again, zero deaths in a place with 200,000 people. And yet the place is shut down. And not only that, they're not ready to welcome tourists again because they're still afraid. And, look, I mean, a third of all of the job losses we've experienced are connected to the travel and tourism industry, Howie. And, you know, as I put in the article, the country is not going to recover with us all staying at home. It's just not going to work. I mean, tourists are annoying. They can be a nuisance, but they're needed. I mean, look, I've been a traveler my whole life. The two books that I've written are both all about travel. And look, you don't have to twist my arm to go anywhere. I mean, somebody could offer me a ticket to Mogadishu and I'd say, hey, let me go pack my bags and get my bulletproof vest. I'm there. But travel has never seemed so appealing, but also so forbidden at the same time. I mean, I think liberals, even before the crisis, were trying to make us feel guilty about travel through, you know, guilting people who aren't buying carbon offsets, making tourists sign responsible tourism pledges, things of the like. And so now we're supposed to feel like outlaws because we want to go somewhere this summer. I'm sorry, but I'm just not buying that.
The problem with people like Governor Kate Brown is that, you know, she can't stop people from Oregon from going to the neighboring states that aren't as locked down. Right. I mean, that's the, just like Governor Pritzker didn't stop his wife from flying off in the family jet paid for by the Hyatt hotel millions from coming down here to Florida to Wellington to their horse farm. You know, people will go where they can enjoy themselves, where they can enjoy life. Nobody who has a choice is going to remain in an autocratic locked down society. And Kate Brown, among many, doesn't seem to understand that, does she?
No, and I think you're right. There's a tremendous hypocrisy here. You know, there's a travel industry association that I get emails from. That in February, they sent me an email declaring a climate emergency. Now, mind you, these are actually tourism operators, right? But they're real left-wing ones. They sent me an email asking me to sign a climate emergency pledge. But Howie, in the very same email, they were announcing their annual meeting. And you will never guess where, so I'll just tell you. This is a U.S.-based association. They were in that very same email announcing their annual meeting in Adelaide, Australia. So sign our climate emergency pledge and also sign up for our annual convention in Adelaide, Australia. I mean, they sense no irony with this whatsoever, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yesterday, this is a little off topic, but look at Chicago. You had Mayor Lori Lightfoot had the cops going around to churches that were open up in Chicago, knocking on doors, demanding that people leave the churches. And this is in the same city where there were, over the weekend, nine murders. There were five on Saturday. And I assume some of the cops were out looking for the people who murdered the five citizens. But the rest of them were knocking on the church doors. No one was getting killed inside those churches.
Right. Look, I lived in Chicago for 8 years, and in speaking to some of my friends who are still there, people are actually terrified in Chicago because I think the local media there, and of course the national media is doing the same thing. The level of fear mongering is off the charts, and some people are afraid to leave their houses. Still, that's a fact.
Yeah,
but I'm not.
No,
I know you're not.
I'm not either. I'm not either, but you're right. I mean, some elderly people are afraid, and then you got sort of there's another class of people that are taking advantage of the situation. This $600 a month, a week extra that they're getting, and they don't seem to realize that the calendar is going to roll around to the end of July, and they're not going to be getting that $600 a month, a week. I keep saying a month, a week extra in their pay. They need to get back. Everybody needs to get back to work, and they don't realize this.
Right. Well, maybe there's also a hidden agenda of some of these elites as well, too, is that they're telling all of us not to go on vacation because they want the places they're going to be all to themselves. They don't want to have to mix with all the riffraff, right?
Yeah. You mentioned Maine, too, and I was born in Maine, and I worked in Maine for many summers when I was in high school and college. And you're right. I mean, Janet Mills, the Democrat governor, for 8 years, they had Paul LePage. He never would have allowed this to happen. But she's imposing a quarantine requirement for everybody who comes into the state. So who the hell would come in to Maine if you have to be quarantined for 2 weeks? Most people are only coming to Maine to rent a cottage or a hotel room for a week or two. And she wants to quarantine everybody who comes into the state. This doesn't even make any sense. None of these regulations and these edicts and these emergency orders, they're all crazy. They don't make any kind of common sense.
Howie, as you've pointed out, I'm able to follow your show via podcast, and I listen regularly. And as you've pointed out, I think so capably over the years, I think the best way to get out around these quarantines is to pretend you're an undocumented immigrant. Because if you've got a New York State license plate or a plate from, you know, other neighboring states in Maine, the police will pull you over. But if you're from, you know, Guatemala and you can't speak English and so on and so forth, they're going to wave you right along, don't you think?
Yeah, I know. You know, that's a good point. I've said it for many times. If I ever get in a jam, I ask for no special treatment. Just treat me like an illegal alien. You know, the other lesson here, Dave, I think it's certainly we've learned it in Massachusetts is, you know, you have to act like the National Rifle Association. Anytime there's any kind of quote unquote common sense reform suggested, the National Rifle Association says no, because they know it's only going to lead to more. So like in Massachusetts last year, they passed a bill banning menthol cigarettes. Menthol cigarettes. Nobody said anything, you know? And then they decided they were going to try to double the gas taxes without a vote by either the legislature or by the voters. Very few people said anything. And now you have the entire state is locked down. It's the most locked down state in the union. I think it's even more locked down than Michigan or Illinois. And you have to stand up when these people come after you. You can't give them an inch or they'll take a mile.
Howie, you know what's crazy is I wrote about this in the column too. But it's not even just the blue states. I mean, even the states we're meeting my in-laws in Tennessee in a few weeks. Okay, Tennessee right. is not a lockdown state, but you've got some individual businesses, hotels like the one that we contacted here, that are trying to keep people out. And even if you're from what they considered a hotspot place, in this one hotel we contacted, they considered a hotspot to be a place with 100 cases. And there's other hotels that aren't even reopening because they're terrified. They've been brainwashed by the media to be scared. So, I mean, you've got the blue lockdown states, but then even in the red states that are open, you've got some people who are afraid to actually open their places of business, which I find incredible, but it's true.
A lot of people lived through the flu in 57, 58, the Hong Kong flu. Then there was another flu in 68, 69. I guess Woodstock took place during the height of that flu, and nobody ever thought to cancel it. I don't remember any of these flus, actually, you know, or I just remember passing mentions of them. And it appears that they were at least as deadly as coronavirus or COVID-19, whatever you want to call it. The country has just changed somehow.
Well, the media landscape has changed too. And I think there was a historian, I heard who recently ranked this as this will probably be the 36th most deadly pandemic in human history since biblical times or whatever. But this will be the first one that'll be happening during this type of media landscape.
Right. And it's the first time where healthy people have been quarantined. That's a first in human history, and we can certainly hope it's the last. Dave Seminari, you're doing a great job with the Wall Street Journal. We love your column, and I'm looking forward to reading your book, Bed, Breakfast, and Drunken Threats, Dispatches from the Margins of Europe. Thanks for being with us on the Howie Carr Show.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this.
This is Chris in Rochester, Mass.
This is Mark in Nashville, New Hampshire.
This is Lorna in Truckstown, Pennsylvania. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
That last guest, people were asking who it was Dave Seminara. He's a former diplomat. He's based out of St. Pete now, Tampa, St. Pete area in Florida. But he used to be in Oregon, and he's a diplomat. And again, he's been taking hydroxychloroquine for a couple of years, as he said. He's a good writer, very interesting guy. Maureen, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Maureen.
Yes, Mr. Howie Carr. I was in Walgreens or Walmart in South Boston. A young couple girl's getting a prescription. She started crying. She had a breakdown in the store saying, "We have no more money now." Then I leave the store. I go down the street. This young girl is crying her heart out. These people. people are not working and they're having breakdowns. So I don't know why Walsh and Baker won't open the city.
I know, Maureen. The governor today at his press conference at the State House was talking about food insecurity, and they provided some more money for food insecurity, meaning people don't know where they're going to get their next meal from, or their kids are going to get their next meal from. The best thing he could do for food insecurity is stop throwing money at it and just open up the state. And you're right, and get the mayor to open up the city. I mean, they keep trying to like one up themselves. You know, I'm going to shut down the pot shops now they're open. I'm going to keep the state closed through phase one and phase two and phase three, and then Marty Walsh, the mayor, one-ups him by saying we're not going to have anything for 8 months. It's ridiculous. I mean, more people are dying just because of depression, drug overdoses, suicides, alcoholism, that are being killed by this this disease. 57 people died in Massachusetts today. 57, the state is 7 million people. There was one person died in Maine today. One person. I mean, as bad as it is, Oregon has 137 deaths, as Dave Seminara said in his column. Maine doesn't even have 100. Vermont doesn't even have 100. They're still shut down. Why? What's the reason? Thanks for the call, Maureen. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Howie, love the show.
Thanks.
No, I'm calling from Maine because I work down on the Mid-Coast, and I work down in, the Popham area a lot, and I work on a lot of the rentals down there, and a lot of the hearsay down there right now is 2 weeks mandatory or don't come.
So who's renting it?
I don't know. The people who own these rentals are saying you have to come for 2 weeks or don't come at all.
It's not going to be a pleasant summer in terms of money coming into the state from the people who usually come in. I mean, why are they treating people like this? And again, this is Janet Mills, the governor, who's imposed these ridiculous restrictions. She welcomes illegal aliens. She wants to give illegal aliens anything they need to settle in Maine. Jobs, just work on a job when you can. Jobs are optional. There'll be plenty of welfare for you. But if you want to come in and spend money, what the hell is? It's like Dave Seminara said. Why aren't citizens being treated with some respect? Citizens with money in their pockets. These people are crazy. On both coasts. I'm Howie Carr.